各位观众大家好，我是凌云，又到澳洲广角的时间了。不只是上苍的厚爱，还是生活在这里的人们对大自然生态平衡的维护，澳洲这块土地一直以来对动植物及人类都提供着良好的生活环境。许多动植物在其他国家已经变得稀少，但在澳洲却依然垂手可得。在今天的澳洲广角节目里，我们先通过墨尔本的鹦鹉和昆士兰的甘蔗来了解一些澳洲的生态环境，最后我们去认识一位颇有传奇色彩的记者钟海莲女士。中国当代及绘画文学于一体的一代宗师黄永玉老先生，在他的《沿着塞纳河到翡冷翠》一文中，曾就在墨尔本看到地上散步的鹦鹉而抒发了一段人心的宽容情怀。看见自由的小动物，便会联想到深奥的人生哲理，这也使得人们不自觉地把鹦鹉与墨尔本联系在一起。我们现在就带领大家到墨尔本去看看大师文中所提到的在地上散步的鹦鹉。
澳大利亚素有鸟的天堂之称，而澳大利亚的鸟类中以鹦鹉种类为多。在距离墨尔本市约35公里的丹尼农国家公园，就藏有一处观看鹦鹉的小平台。这里原来只是一个平常的小山谷，因为越来越多的游人慕名前来观赏鹦鹉，而且不断有游人前来喂食，聚集了数百只各类鹦鹉，成了一个小型的鹦鹉谷。为方便游客，公园的管理者特在此地修筑了一个小小的观舞平台。在这里，你随时随地可以见到许多在其他国家视为珍品的种类，比如红蓝相间美艳亮丽的玫瑰鹦鹉，还有绿翅红羽的澳大利亚鹦鹉王。而这种远看好似大白鸽的巨型鹦鹉名叫 Cockatoo， 意为美观鹦鹉，是澳洲特产的大鹦鹉，比平常鹦鹉大一倍，通体雪白，头上顶着浅黄色凤冠，栖息时昂首观望，一副傲然尊贵的模样，鸣叫时声音粗粝，又添几分威严。这里的许多鹦鹉品种在欧洲亚洲都很受欢迎，也很值钱，但在自己的故乡却只落得随地捡食的份儿，真是从反面印证了物以稀为贵的道理。这里的野生鹦鹉都已习惯了面对人群，不怕人。瞧这只，看来看去的，一副老于世故深沉的模样，实际上它们都非常单纯可爱，对人没什么戒心，只要把鸟绳放在手心，它们就会飞到游人的手上、肩上，甚至头上索取食物。他们最喜欢吃的食物是葵花籽，动作灵活熟练，吃完瓜子仁，瓜子皮一定要留在喂食者的手掌中，似乎还有点环保意识呢。 人们到这里观赏鹦鹉和喂食已有20多年的历史了。然而，国家自然保护工作人员对于随便喂食鹦鹉的行为是不予鼓励的，认为这样做会对鸟类的繁殖发育及自然的生态都将带来不利的一面。
There are many other impacts that people probably don't perceive. You know, one is obviously the health of the animals and the type of food they're eating.
所吃食物种类可能会影响到鹦鹉的健康，它们还可能会因为无节制的过度饮食而超重。当习惯了现有的食物供应方式后，幼鸟将不会继承或逐渐丧失自我生存的觅食技能。如果这里的人工喂食停止了，这些鸟将不能够适应原有的自然环境。还有，当这些野生鹦鹉熟悉与人交往而放松警惕后，可能会很轻易地被偷猎者捕获。有些树木死亡了，就是由于大量的鸟类聚集到这里后，致使树木被毁坏。另外，人们可能不会意识到，喂鸟的时候还有可能被鸟类传染上一些疾病。
除了上述的问题，还要小心鹦鹉弄乱你的头发哦。看看这些漂亮的鹦鹉，很容易就会让人拥有轻松愉快的心情，回归自然的感受。可是为了它们的健康，请千万配合帮助它们控制饮食。
当人们每天在享受蔗糖的美味时，是不是知道蔗糖是如何制造的呢？而昆士兰州的甘蔗产量又是全国第一，每年在甘蔗丰收之后，人们都要举行一系列的庆祝活动。下面让我们一起去参观一下。
蔗糖是澳洲第二大出口工业，昆士兰州又占了全澳洲糖产量的60%。因这里的独特气候，为甘蔗生产创造了最佳条件。大家每天在享受蔗糖的美味时，不知有没有想过，生产蔗糖是一个怎样有趣的过程呢？先让我们欣赏一下生产蔗糖前的两大奇观。这张烈火熊熊的壮阔场面，反映的是在收割甘蔗前必要的一道工序，为的是除去甘蔗的枯叶和杂草。如果您夜间行驶在北昆士兰太平洋高速公路上，一定会看到火光冲天、浓烟滚滚、映红夜空的壮观景象。第二个奇观是收获甘蔗用的超长公路火车，运输甘蔗一辆接着一辆，日夜不息。在北昆士兰一家制糖厂里，记者看到这样的场景。首先将切成段的甘蔗倒入打碎机里粉碎， 然后倒进这个大桶里压汁和过滤。这是打出的尚未过滤的糖汁，其中80%是甘蔗中的水分。然后排除掉泥土，再到这里进行分离糖中的水分，进一步净化糖浆。在这个电视荧幕上，可以看到显微镜下测定糖的品质，再通过加热来使糖结晶。经过传送带，送到另一个筛检程式中做最后的纯化处理，制作成食糖。蔗糖除了用作食品、保存剂或制药辅助之外，糖的副产品以及工厂的残渣物都有很大的工业用途。例如，将它们经过发酵和蒸馏所提炼出的含酒精成分的液体，能用作汽车燃料，糖泥可用来做肥料，糖渣制成牲畜饲料。总之，糖的一切残余物都不会被浪费。在每一年蔗糖丰收的季节，作为全澳出产蔗糖最多的省份，昆士兰省各地区都会举办不同形式的庆典活动。阳光海岸马鲁奇县的南博镇是著名的糖城，悠久传统的蔗糖节成为当地居民和众多外地游客的嘉年华会。市议员 Jenny McKay 说，举办这次活动的意义是为了增强市民参与团体活动的意识，并鼓励大家共同迎接多彩的、充满希望的将来。
在当今社会，媒体的力量已是一个不可忽视的群体。拥有特殊地位的记者群们往往肩负着历史的责任，他们除了向社会大众传播各地最新的信息之外，也见证了所有的历史事件。接下来要为大家介绍的是澳大利亚广播电台的第一位驻京女记者钟海莲女士。
钟海莲女士祖籍广东台山，出生于澳大利亚南部的塔斯马尼亚州。海莲于1970年进入澳大利亚广播电台，后来又进入电视台工作。她曾在澳大利亚、英国、埃及和香港的电台或电视台担任记者和主播。1983年至1986年，海莲女士作为澳大利亚广播电台派驻海外的第一位女记者到北京工作。1985年的4月，海莲在中南海独家采访了当时的中国共产党总书记胡耀邦先生。 作为早年为数不多的驻京记者之一，海莲有幸记录了中国门户初开时各国首脑纷纷拜访紫禁城的珍贵的历史镜头。和这些来去匆匆的外国首脑们不一样，海莲在北京一住就是三年，这使他有机会看到了一个真实的中国。
In the early 80s, the Chinese aspired to the four things that go round: a bicycle, a watch, a fan, and a sewing machine. By the late 80s, they wanted the four big things. They wanted a cassette recorder, a television set, a washing machine, and a refrigerator. Now they lust for the four luxuries. They want their own car, an apartment, private education, and overseas travel. Oh, and perhaps a pet pooch and a concubine, too.
1983年的6月，海莲抵达北京，这是一个非常炎热的夏天。他的第一个中国客人是为澳广开车的司机小李。
My ABC driver in the 1980s, he was not allowed into the Zhengguo Hotel, which was reserved only for foreigners with their wads of foreign exchange certificates. And he could come in only as my guest.And in 1983, when I opened the minibar and said, what would you like to drink? He gasped at the sight of these bottles of Coca-Cola, which was hideously expensive, way beyond his means. And he drank that bottle of Coca-Cola. He disliked it. I could see his face. He was frowning, but he did it because it gave him status.
海莲最近一次去中国是在2002年。当年的小李早已是今非昔比了。
Now, 20 years later, I go and see him. He can come and enter the Zhengguo in his own right. He's dressed very, very smartly. And his big news is his son-in-law owns a BMW. So that's a big change.
人们可以在海莲的小说《一个懒人在中国》看到这些精彩的描述。那么这个懒人是谁呢？他就是和海莲一起前往中国的未婚夫约翰·马丁先生。
Now my partner John didn't want to go to China, but he decided he would come to support me in my career, and then he worked in the Australian embassy in the aid section. It's usual that the woman follows the man overseas. Now in my case, in 1983,my partner followed me overseas. Now, this was most unusual.
1993年，约翰不幸患病逝世。海莲在整理约翰当年从北京写给亲朋好友的书信时，被约翰幽默独特的文采所感染。他花了三年半的时间，将约翰的书信整理成这本英文纪实小说。该书于2004年9月29日约翰逝世11周年的忌日首次公开发行，这是在澳大利亚墨尔本大学举行的新书发布会。
I should say that I think the title is utterly misleading. When you read this book, you'll find that John is not lazy at all. He not only did a lot of work for various capacities there, both in the aid section of the embassy, but as a journalist, but he also travelled a great deal.Was always busy.
And one of the themes of Lazy Man in China is change. China past and present. It's transformation. Another aspect of Lazy Man in China is the dynamics of role reversal. A theme particularly relevant today when so many women are taking on high-flying jobs and trying to balance.
不知是海莲的知名度，还是对中国的神秘感，前来购书者远远超过了人们的预料。这个能容纳120个座位的大厅显然是太小了，人们只能站在那里。海莲通过他的小说寄托了对约翰永远的思念。
In 1980, we met Helene and we met John in their flat in St Kilda Road, And John and Helene were very playful and very happy and very much in love. The serious side of Helene came out, I think, after John died. It was very distressing for her, and she took a long time to recover.
One never really recovers. What you do when you lose the love of your life is you live gradually in a different way. John's ashes are here in the garden, just behind where we're sitting. And, you know, I talk to John.
Talk to him.
It may sound crazy, but people do talk in their heads to their loved ones.
海莲于1986年离开北京后，又几次以记者的身份返回中国，其中以89年与64事件失之交臂尤为遗憾。那时他一直跟踪报道了天安门的学生运动，却在1989年的6月2日不得不离开北京。
I was sent by the ABC and Radio Australia and they have a limited budget. I wanted to stay because I thoughtSomething would happen, because with all those people in the square, China was bound to clear it. I did not expect them actually to shoot. But when I was in Hong Kong, I stayed there on the Saturday night. Someone phoned me on Sunday morning and said, they've been shooting people. There's a massacre that's taken place. I was shocked. I was not surprised because...China has always, the communist regime has always been brutal to its own people. And then the awful thing that did not surprise me either was the cover-up, the pretense that it did not happen.
海莲到过中国许多地方，那么她最喜欢的是哪里呢？
Shanghai, undoubtedly. Shanghai is our favorite city.It's a very cosmopolitan city, always has been ever since the 19th century. The architecture along the Bund is absolutely wonderful. And after you've been living in Beijing, which it's a very stifling place for journalists, with so much bureaucracy coming down upon you. When you go to Shanghai, everything was open and free. And also in the 1980s,It was so terrible to try and make a telephone call. It would sometimes take me 5 hours to make a telephone call from Beijing to Sydney. That's why I called my first book Shouting from China. And when we went down to Shanghai, I could get through to Sydney immediately.
那么海莲是否能说中文呢？
对不起，我听不懂。
海莲是第四代中国移民，一个地道的澳洲人。他虽然不会讲几句中文，可是他对中国社会的理解之透彻，让我们这些自以为地道的中国人感到惊讶。观众朋友，这次的澳洲广角节目就到这里了，谢谢您的收看，再见。